Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And I am really excited because today, from 2 to 4, is the divorce show starring Dr. Sharon. And from 3 to 4 will be Joe Collins, attorney. This is going to be exciting because people need to know what to do if you're contemplating a divorce, in a divorce, or post-divorce. Dr. Sharon, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. I'm so happy to be here.
I know. This is exciting. Last month was your debut show, and now it's your second show. And we had a good time last time, remember?
We had a wonderful time.
That was great. And we have a special guest in studio for today. And this is great because this really amazing woman in studio is a coach. And so it's hard to get a psychologist and a coach together. Here they are in one studio. And your fellow colleague, we'll call her, because she has Coach's Corner starring Lori Battaglia. Lori, how are you?
I am great today.
This is great because here we are. Hey, you know why it's great? I'm here with two women. How right, Tommy?
How bad can it
Can't
be?
Get any better than that.
Yeah, Tommy, you stay out of the studio. I want the odds here. Okay. Anyway, but I know your husband, Joe.
Exactly.
Oh, that's not going to work too
that's
well.
That's not going to work
okay,
at all.
Tommy, come into the studio. All right. Anyway, so welcome, Lori.
Hi, thank you.
Of course, you have Coach's Corner with your fine husband, Joe Battaglia.
Yes, we do.
Living the Dream Coaches, and that is
every second Monday from 2 to 3.
Excellent. So this is really good, and we're going to talk today about many aspects of divorce, but in particular, how it affects children, and also perhaps, women's issues when it comes to divorce. But first of all, Dr. Sharon, we love to call you Dr. Sharon. A little bit of background for new listeners.
Okay.
So give us a brief background of who you are.
All right. I'm a psychologist, and I've been seeing clients for 28 years. And my early career was with the Department of Defense in San Diego and Long Beach, and then with the Veterans Administration here in Phoenix for 8 years. And then I left there in 2001 and started doing family therapy and working with children and adolescents out in Surprise. And I went out on my own in my own practice about 6 years ago.
Nice. Well, that's good. It's a blessing for people that see you because you can really help people. And in this day and age, not only just the divorce situation, but the economy, I think, creates a lot of stress. So you're very helpful in that regard as well. So, and Lori, of course, you're a coach. You have a show, Coach's Corner, on that great show,
yes.
That great structure, Breakthrough Thinking. You've heard of that.
I have heard of that.
Oh, right.
It's very popular.
Yes, it is. And and this is great because we're going to talk about both your experiences, either with clients or personal or whatever, on divorce and children's issues. And why don't you start that off? I mean, we were talking off there a little bit how divorce impacts children. Oftentimes, what they might think it's their fault and a whole assortment of issues.
Yeah, and I think it's more common than parents realize when they contemplate a divorce or they get separated or they actually go through with a divorce. They bring their children in for therapy, and the children from the ages of 6 to about maybe 10 or 11 usually think it's their fault. The majority of them do. Mm. And so when I see them in therapy, I just try and draw them out, as to why they think it's their fault. And then in a number of cases, I've, brought one or both of their parents in so they could really explain to them over several sessions, what led to the divorce, at least in terms that the children can understand, and so that's been very helpful. But I don't think that people realize the effects that it has on them. It can be devastating.
Let me ask you this. You said most of them think it's their fault between 6 and 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask them why. What's some of their answers? I'm sort of curious why they think it's their fault.
Well, it could be anything. I mean, especially the young ones. I mean, if the 6, 7, 8-year-olds, I mean, the world kind of does revolve around them.
Okay.
So it's natural to think that something like that happens is their fault.
I see. Yeah, so that makes sense because of their state of mind at that age.
Right. It's more their state of mind than anything that particularly happened in the marriage or in the relationship.
Is it easy for, let me just think how to phrase this. Well, simply, is it easy for children, once you talk to them, to really let go of the guilt that they think it's their fault, and once they understand, or do they ever understand at that
time? Well, no, they do, but really what's more important than me talking to them is their parents talking to them. So then I became a mediator with one or both parents to please explain to them, why they weren't getting along and that it had nothing to do with the child.
Well, that's important because the long-term impact, I would suspect, on a child that if you leave it unresolved could be awful growing up in the teenage years. And then when they get married, I mean, it could alter and impact every decision they make, probably in relationships.
All of their relationships, yeah, if they're carrying that guilt around.
Ooh.
It's awful.
That's a terrible thing for a little kid. So, yeah. So Lori, have you seen that with either friends and just reading about it even? I mean, what have you seen?
Yeah, I have seen it with friends that have younger kids, and I'm divorced for about 15 years and remarried to Joe for about 10 years now. So there was a period of time there where I was single, and my son was 23 when his dad and I split. So you'd think, or it's easy to think, that it doesn't have the same impact on a 23-year-old that it would on a 6-year-old, but I would say that there is some impact, and I'm not even sure I know what all that is. By that time, he had a fiance, and I think his confidant tended to more so be her than to come to me with what was going on for him. He actually supported me well through the divorce.
Oh, that's good. And
yeah.
So, Dr. Sharon, is that you've seen cases like that, older kids too, or teenage even?
Well, teenagers certainly, yes, teenagers, and they're all affected because, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, their identity is so tied up into who their parents are that when they split, at some level, it's going to affect them.
And do you have you seen where parents will use kids as pawns in the divorce to get leverage or whatever? There's probably a multitude of reasons, but that's got to be a big no-no, right?
Yeah, it really is an awful thing. And I've occasionally gotten a case where someone keeps dragging their husband to court, for 10 years.
Yes.
I mean, and it's like, when is it ever going to end?
10 years? How does that happen?
Mm-hmm. Because they can't let go of the rage.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That could be a book. Can't let go of the rage.
Yeah, write that down.
Yeah, I'm going to write that down for you. Can't let go of the rage. So, but how does it, so you mean they're not divorced for 10 years or are they?
No, they're divorced, but maybe they go back to redo the custody issues with the children, or they redo the child support, or they want to go back after the husband for, more support, or maybe say that they didn't fully disclose their income. I mean, they come up with something.
Wow, 10 years. That's a big chunk of one's life
To
spend in court, right?
Yeah.
And let me ask you this, then. I'll ask both of you. Lori, let me ask you first. If one let go of the rage, if you were able to let go of the rage, how do you think life would be different for most divorced people?
Wow. When I see people trapped in a relationship, and like Sharon said, it's 5-10 years after it's over. And frequently, the man has left the woman, and it's the woman that can't let go. When I'm thinking of friends, I don't like stereotypes, but when I think about it, it's where the man has made the decision to leave. The woman wasn't ready for that to happen, and she just wants to keep on going. And there's always some way to throw more fuel into the fire to keep that rage fueled. And yet life would be so much better. You know, I used to hear a saying that something like, living a great life is the best revenge. So if you really want to get back at the person, have a great life.
Have a great life.
Be happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that kind of brings, you bring up an issue that I think is real important for listeners, anybody who is out there contemplating a divorce. You know, some of the issues that I have seen with couples that are contemplating divorce and are going through divorce, it's like their life is 10 times more difficult after the divorce. If they had any idea what they would be going through afterwards, especially when there's children involved, if you've got two or three children, you know, I'm just encouraging you to do whatever you can to go seek counseling, coaching, you know, see a psychologist, get some help, try and put the marriage back on track. Even if, you know, one party has strayed outside the marriage, somebody's had an affair, the relationship can still be put back together if that party is willing to let go of the other relationship.
Yeah.
And I just am telling you, you would save yourself a whole lot of headaches and your life will be much easier if you can put it back together.
Mm-hmm. And I heard recently, I forget who it was, but someone, might have been like a dating coach or someone, saying it's so much easier now to get divorced. And people are much more willing to just, in a moment's notice, split the marriage up. Laura, you're shaking your head. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it depends which state you're in, because I have friends on the East Coast and some of the states, you know, Pennsylvania, where I used to live, is pretty easy to get one. North Carolina, not so much.
Really?
You know, there's a couple of year waiting period or something.
Wow.
Is a long cooling off period. So you really have to be committed to ending that relationship. In order to get through that. But I think it does depend state to state what the laws are and things like that.
That's interesting. Dr. Sharon, would that help, do you think, if Arizona or other states had a long cooling off period where you either have to go to classes or some requirements are mandated, if that's even legal, but if it is, would that help, you think?
I think it would. I think it would help. And I think that the covenant marriage law in Arizona, if you're familiar with that, it requires, if you get a covenant marriage, it requires that the couple has to go through counseling in order to get a divorce.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so it makes it much more difficult to, you know, get a divorce if you've gotten a covenant marriage. So I think that's a step in that direction to try and keep marriages together.
That is very interesting. Why don't we take a quick break now, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. This is The Divorce Show, starring Dr. Sharon and in the studio guest, Lori Battaglia from Coach's Corner. You can hear that every second Monday from 2 to 3. And I'm interested in that covenant marriage. I'm going to ask you a question when we get back, so everyone stay tuned for my question. We'll be right back.
The greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Tax time is here again. Let Barenbaum and Spieing relieve your burden and stress while we provide you with easy and sophisticated preparation on your tax return. Whether you are a business, such as a partnership or a corporation, as well as an individual, state, or trust, we can help you with your tax return preparation in a way that allows you to feel safe and secure. Barenbaum and Spieing has experienced, knowledgeable, and personable CPAs and staff, and look forward to helping you. Please call 602-266-5633 and ask for Mitchell Spieing, CPA.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Divorce Show, starring Dr. Sharon, and it's every third Tuesday. We're on a Tuesday now.
Yeah.
Every third Tuesday from 2 to 3, you can hear Dr. Sharon with The Divorce Show. And, of course, right after Dr. Sharon, we have Joe Collins coming in, a family law attorney, and we will be talking from the legal aspects of divorce coming up. At 3, we have in studio guest Lori Battaglia from Coach's Corner every second Monday from 2 to 3, Living the Dream Coaches. And I did promise one quick question, the covenant marriage. I think that's interesting philosophically that, let me ask, get both of your opinions. Do you think that's a good thing? Does it show more commitment to making the marriage last? Even if there's issues? So, Dr. Sharon, you think so?
Yeah, absolutely. Covenant marriage. I think that, you know, if people are entering into a marriage, I mean, hopefully with a plan to stay together for the rest of their lives, I mean, that is the purpose of marriage, that a covenant commitment is a good thing.
Wow. Laurie, you think so?
Yeah, I don't know much about it. But I think that when people enter into marriage, they should enter into it assuming that it's going to last, not assuming that there might be a divorce. And, you know, I'm a fan of home improvement shows. I like HGTV. And I heard a young couple say, now this is the area in the home we want to be in for the next 30 years. And even with homes, you don't hear it. It's always like trade up, trade up. And I think sometimes that carries over in society to marriage. It's like trade up. It's a starter wife. It's a starter husband.
Yeah.
And then if I don't like this one, I'll get rid of it and start over again. And it's just a painful experience, even if you're the one that wants out.
Let me ask Dr. Sharon, have you seen that a lot where I've heard that too, where like the guy, usually I think it's the guys, like they want a new model. I mean, that's how they look at it. The newest model. You know, like a newest
the trophy
car.
Wife.
Yeah.
You do hear that.
So have you seen that a lot in your practice?
You know, I haven't seen that a lot. I mean, I know it's out there.
Yeah.
But they're not likely to be the ones coming in for counseling. It's probably the wife they
point.
Just dumped.
Yeah.
That's true.
You're probably right. That's too bad, though. That's horrible.
Yeah. They're the ones that probably need the therapy so they don't go out and do it again.
So have you seen that a lot where the wife gets... Unfortunately, them.
Yeah.
That's got to be painful.
Very painful. And, you know, it can take years to get over.
That's now, there's two ways people. Let me depart a little bit from our next topic, which is premarital counseling. I do want to talk a little bit about that. But self-esteem. I mean, when your marriage breaks up or even a couple, you know, one person or both may have low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And that could be really dangerous, I think, because some people will try to get their self-esteem back by having someone like them right away. So they jump right into another relationship. Does that make sense to both of you?
Well, absolutely. And that happens a lot. It, you know, rebound relationships and they don't work out because, the person needs to heal first.
Yeah.
And needs to work on themselves and get their self-esteem back before they go out looking again. But yeah, it's, I mean, people fill their pain with another relationship.
So how would you explain to someone that is desperately seeking some type of self-esteem, hoping they're lovable again, because that's probably one of the issues, how do you convince them, no, you can't get it that way. Don't date, you know, stay, heal yourself, And how long do you recommend? But how do you, more importantly, how do you convince them that's not the right action to do?
Well, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Okay,
right. Agreed.
So you can suggest it. You can, you know, maybe point out that the similarities that this person is a lot like the last one.
So handcuffs don't work.
No, okay. not in our business.
I'm kidding. Yes.
I've lost a lot of clients from telling them what I think about their partner.
Well, really?
Yes.
They don't like
good
it?
Point. So I have learned not to do that.
That's a good point.
Because it's like they'll say, well, if my therapist doesn't like my choice of my partner, then I'm going to go somewhere else and find somebody who does like my choice.
A good way to look at things.
Right. Oh. So if now when people ask me, well, what do you think about so-and-so, and maybe they bring them in for a couple sessions, is this person good for me? I am really careful about what I say.
Yeah. Wow. So Lori, same question, that self-esteem. I mean, you, as a coach, I'm sure that in every area, that has a big impact on people's choices and decisions.
It does. And I think when you're down, you tend to look at the world as a bad place, and you just sort of go toward the things that are going to be bad for you as a natural, I don't know, you think it's going to fix your problem, but you really haven't. The problem is partly you. I mean, I don't think anybody escapes a bad marriage without the internal scars. And I remember going for therapy after my marriage ended and saying to my therapist, but it must have been my part somehow. And she was actually reinforcing that I was with somebody who was very damaged. And I was like, okay. But I had to play a role in that. And I've since figured out the role I played of letting it go on for so long. But I think you got to figure that out before you enter into other relationships, or you just keep attracting the same kind of man into your life over and over again and wondering why.
And that is a serious problem.
Mm-hmm.
People just leave the first marriage, they get a second one, they get a third one, they even get a fourth one.
Yeah.
No way.
And they find, I have two girlfriends, I've been married four times. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
wow.
I'm like, and they're still not happy.
Right. Because I think the issue is not the guy that's supposed to fill the hole. The issue, like Dave says, is the self-esteem and the hole that's there that's not filled up with substantive things, with spiritual things, with stuff that really makes a difference in life.
Right.
So you tend to fill it up by relationships or stuff or new purses or whatever your thing is, you know, wherever you
new
want to
purses,
go.
New purses, yes.
Yeah.
Shoes.
Shoes.
Clothes.
Yes.
That might be healthier than the fourth marriage.
Right.
It'd be less costly. Except maybe shoes are expensive these days. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But
not as expensive as attorneys.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
We're going to ask Joe Collins about that at 3 o'clock. But it is expensive, no doubt. And how about this? Unconscious selection criteria. I mean, everyone has criteria. And often when they repeat their choices, it's an unconscious selection criteria. And also, I think, unconscious attraction strategies. I think people are attracted, and who knows how they got it. Maybe when they were young, they got anchored into a certain attraction of... I'll give you an example, and then let's have the two women comment. Mm-hmm. Tommy, you can chime in, too, if you hear something that's really interesting regarding this. I had a I have a friend that he said he'd only go out with blondes. And I go, you got to be kidding. I thought he was joking at first.
Yeah.
I said, really? No, he says, no, seriously. There was some unconscious and conscious attraction strategy, blondes. I go, you got to be, that's your only criteria? You go, pretty much. Come on, tell me that. That's a problem. But yeah. It is a sample of people, whether they know it or not, they have certain attraction strategies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Don't you think it's better to get to know the person? But it's a very visual world. And is that part of the problem? Let's start with Dr. Sharon.
Well, I totally agree with you 100% that people's choice of partners is largely unconscious, and that it's also rooted in their childhood, what's familiar. They're attracted to what's familiar. So if their father was emotionally distant, then they may keep picking men who are emotionally unavailable.
Interesting. So it is true where you hear that sometimes you pick your parents.
I totally believe that's true. Totally. Yeah.
Scary.
It is scary. It's very scary. So, but that's what's rooted in the unconscious. And but we feel safe and we feel comfortable with that because that's what we grew up with.
I see. That's a good explanation. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you get to someone to re-examine their unconscious attraction strategies? That's a deep topic.
It is.
Yeah. Well,
it's called therapy, probably.
Therapy is definitely helpful. Making a list of conscious choices of what you're looking for in a partner. And so, you know, if you meet somebody, you think you want to go out with them, you go back to your list. Okay. Is it not just is there chemistry there? Because the chemistry is probably going to be created by that unconscious list. Those unconscious thing. That's where the chemistry comes
from. So it's really not chemistry at all. It's dysfunctional type of history.
Yeah. So you're a lot better off not having a whole lot of chemistry and going through your conscious list.
Finally, someone agrees with me.
I agree with you.
Give me five. I'm proud of you.
I'm high fiving from over here. I'm with you.
Because I've had this debate. I give single talks, how to recognize red flags in potential partners. And I go from a neurolinguistic programming standpoint into unconscious selection criteria and attraction strategies. Mm-hmm. And people debate me all day long and all night long about, no, you have to have chemistry. I go, but what do you mean? What is chemistry? It often is, and I think you confirmed that it's some dysfunctional, potentially dysfunctional thing from the past, and they call it chemistry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's nuts, right?
Right, because you feel swept off your feet.
Yeah.
And you've met this new person. And in your unconscious mind, this is daddy all over again.
Yeah.
And so you're so excited about him. But you know what?
Yes.
Daddy's was unavailable then, and he's still unavailable. So guess what? You just got yourself back into a childhood drama.
Oh, yes. Oh, nice. Another name of a book, childhood drama. I'm writing these names down up for you because I think they're good books.
Okay. Well, we'll write them.
Yeah.
Who's your agent? Okay, she's
Dave
smiling.
Isaac.
There we go. Thank you, Lori.
You're welcome.
So what do you think of this? As a coach, you probably see unconscious things going on all the time. And in relationships, you said it yourself. People seem to repeat the same patterns.
They do. And I think here's another scary thought, too, that when we were talking about children of divorce, what I've noticed, so I have a grown son who's married for a long time and has two girls. And what I would say is I've watched him repeat some of the dysfunction of my relationship with his father that he observed over time. Now, that is painful for a mom to watch when you know
absolutely
what bothered you, what broke you up, and then to see seeds of that come out. So be very careful in your marriages what tone you're setting for your children.
Because that's a very good point.
You know, we're talking about us playing it out, but they're playing it out too.
I totally agree. And then when you've got those marriages where the parents are constantly arguing in front of the kids, that is what they're going to attract and draw to them when they're adults.
Yeah.
So if you've got that kind of situation where they're constantly arguing, bickering, you know, becoming loud and aggressive in front of the children, the children learn that that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
That's normal. And then I have to go out and find a relationship that's loud and aggressive.
Yeah.
Guess what
normal.
You just created?
Oh, no.
Because that's how you show love.
Yeah.
Yes.
Scary. So, you know, in that kind of a situation, they might be better off getting a divorce, separation. So there's some peace in the household and the kids have some solitude.
Wow. Yeah. That's a tough one. Let's take another quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Dr. Sharon, the Divorce Show, and special in-studio guest Lori Battaglia, Coach's Corner, Living the Dream Coaches. We've been talking about how divorce affects children, unconscious selection criteria. Stop repeating the same patterns already. Actually, if people want to call in, they could maybe give us their best selection criteria story, 602-296-3632. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Lisa Masters, single mom to two amazing boys on the spectrum and author of The Funny Side of Autism. April 20th marks the first annual Tie One On for Autism benefit at the Compound Grill in Phoenix. It will be a fun night out to benefit the Autism Society Greater Phoenix Chapter. We have a wonderful evening planned, including dinner, entertainment, silent auctions, raffles, and a copy of my latest book, The Funny Side of Autism Around the World. For ticket info, go to the calendar tab at thecompoundgrill.com. Hope to see you there.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Divorce Show, starring Dr. Sharon and special in-studio guest Lori Battaglia from Coach's Corner, every second Monday from 2 to 3, Living the Dream Coaches. And on the break, Lori, we were talking about, well, you were talking about a story about Liz. Do you want to share that?
Yeah, I do. So I've been happily married now for going on 10 years this fall. And I wanted to share the story of how Joe and I met. So Joe and I met at a singles class back near Philadelphia. He was about 1 year out of his marriage and said he spent that year working and taking care of his kids and just had to get out. I had moved to a new area and closer to work and thought I would have lots of friends, and I just didn't know what to do with myself. So we both found our way to this class, and I had given up on men. I was going to go to this class to meet nice women that I could run around and do things with. So but before that, I had had an argument with a male friend who had one criteria. It was comparable to what you said, Dave, with the I want a blonde kind of thing. You know, it was very surface kind of stuff that he was looking for. So I went home and I took a little pad of paper and I started writing, what am I really looking for? And it was one of those little blocks of like 3 by 3 inch paper, and I needed about 3 of those, and I filled them up and I stuck them in a drawer and went off to this class a little while later. And there was this guy across the room, and he remembers being the one guy with like 12 women, and I remember like eventually being 5 guys and 20 women. I'm not usually the girl that gets the guy, and frankly the blondes do, so in my head. So I had matched him up with a blonde, you know, I'm like, hey, looks nice, but whatever. And it was a 5-week class, and on the 4th week we went out. Actually, this Friday would be the 11th anniversary of that dance, and we went out to a dance, Cajun dancing, and he asked me to dance, and later that night he asked me to go out Sunday, and we did. And I had made a pact with God that if he brought the right one in, I would recognize it this time, because I tend to be a little oblique, and frankly I was really attracted to jerks, very much attracted to jerks. So I had realized that about myself. Now I have the list, and I'm just going on this date. It's not a date to me, it's just I'm going out to hang out. So we go to this beautiful garden, and we walk around, and as he talks, I'm looking heavenward, and I'm saying, really, this guy? Because that's on my list. And he's saying to me throughout the day, as I say things, huh, that's on my list. Now, I'm in a weird spot in life, so I'm not sure that guys have lists. And I say, really, you have a list? And he says, been building it for 25 years in my head.
Wow.
And so later we compared, and we met about 90 to 95% of the things on each other's list.
That's incredible.
And you're right, Dave. The chemistry comes as you realize that this is the person you've been looking for. And, yeah, I think they have to be attractive to you. Mm-hmm. I think if they're really, really unattractive in some way, shape, or form, that it's a limited time till that becomes an issue. But if they're attractive to you, and I think I've got a cutie, you know, he's a keeper.
You can build chemistry.
And you know that it's a keeper when you've found that one, because you know what you're looking for.
Dr. Sharon, that's a great story. And Dr. Sharon, as Lori was talking about this, you mentioned something that really caught my ear. You said build chemistry. Did you hear that too? Build chemistry. Did you remember you said
yes.
that?
Yes.
That's fascinating to me. How do you build chemistry? That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that if you have, you know, a list like you're talking about, and the person maybe, you know, is intellectually stimulating and, you know, fairly attractive to look at, and you have some of the same interests, that as you share some time together and you share your feelings with each other, assuming they're emotionally available, then you can build chemistry based on your experiences together and the companionship.
Yes.
Wow, that's very good. I've never heard that before, and I like it, though.
Yeah, that's, I mean, how... you know, you hear stories about, you know, people who were friends for years before they even dated.
Yes.
I mean, that was true in my marriage. We were friends for 3 years. In fact, my ex-husband, Jay Bear, he was advising me. He was my advisor on the phone about the other guys that I was dating when I was in graduate school. And for he did that for about 3 years. And actually, I started dating his best friend.
Wow.
Back in graduate school.
Huh.
And then, you know, that was a short-lived relationship. But Jay Bear was, you know, he was my advisor. He was my best friend. And then we went out to lunch about 6 or 8 weeks before I left Denver. I was leaving graduate school, going to go to internship at the Veterans Administration in Long Beach. And we went out to lunch, and he always had women. I mean, there were always women in his life, and we were just, you know, friends. And I said, well, gee, Jay Bear, I wonder what would have happened if you and I had spent more time together. And all of a sudden, that question turned into a relationship.
Hmm.
And 6 or 8 weeks later, he moved to California with me.
Wow.
We lived separately, but we both ended up in Orange County. And I was living with my aunt and uncle because internship, we weren't making very much money as interns. And he found a roommate, and he got a job over there. And so... then we, you know, dated for, I don't know, about three more years, and he kept asking me to marry him, and I didn't take him seriously. I don't know why, but he asked me over the intercom to my apartment building about 6 or 8 times. He did that over 6 months.
Was he on his knee, or was the intercom too tall?
So, see, I thought it was a joke, and after like 6 months... I finally, you know, told this friend of mine at work, and she said, Sharon, if this has been going on for 6 months, I think you better take him seriously.
And you did.
And I thought he was kidding.
That's a good one.
So anyway.
Was he kidding?
No, he wasn't kidding. And so anyway, we ended up getting married at the end of my internship year, somewhere in the middle, actually, I think it was.
Wow.
I had wanted to finish, you know, all my schooling and everything, but I kind of got to the point where I wasn't sure he was going to waiting longer, so.
Nice. Well, that's a good story, too. I'm hearing all these great stories today. Now, this day and age, people connect very quickly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then after a couple, you know, they call it a relationship. They forget the dating part or something, or the friendship part. Mm-hmm. And they almost really forget the dating part. They go to a relationship part. Maybe a couple months later, they break up and they say, now we can be friends. Well, that's a really weird comment because they were never friends in the first place. Why do people say that?
I don't know. I think that it's easier for men to do that.
I don't know.
Try and be friends. I think, you know, women are like, you know, you're done with me? Well, I'm not going to be your friend. Screw you.
Yeah.
Wow, that's... All right, that's a good tip from Dr. Sherry.
Yeah, so, very clinical.
Tommy, I need some reinforcement here. What do you say? Is that a good... is that the women in your life? Well, you've been married a long time, right, Tom?
30 years.
Good for you.
Wow, 30 years.
Congratulations.
Wow.
You deserve a medal.
Yeah, you deserve therapy.
No. hey, it still comes in handy, let me tell you.
That's right.
So 30 years, how did you do it?
Just hanging in there, and it's getting pretty good, you know?
Good for you.
I think that somebody told me pretty early on, it helps if you like the person as
yes.
well as love them. And that's
nice.
True.
Yeah.
That's very true. Yes. Very, very true.
Very, very you know, good point.
People talk about communication all the time. I kind of say enforced communication, but I think it's more acceptance the way that each other is, are, and you're not going to be able to change that. So just roll with the flow.
Yeah.
Nicely said, mm-hmm. Mr. Tom. Well, Tom's a really good person, though.
Yeah.
So I think that's good. Wow. Well, let's talk a little bit. We have a little time before the next break about really premarital like counseling, things people can do that maybe they aren't doing but they should be doing prior to getting married. So, Dr. Sharon, how important is it to get into like wellness therapy, premarital counseling, those type of things prior to marriage?
Well, I think it's a really good idea for people to do that. You know, and have a professional kind of look at their relationship and see if there's any areas that are unresolved from previous relationships, if one of them has, you know, been in a marriage before. And I think that if they do that for, you know, 3 months, then that they're going to have a much better, you know, chance in their marriage. It's pretty rare. I mean, I get calls for that, but that's a very insightful person, I think, that or couple that's looking for that ahead of time. I think that's, you know, not the norm.
Yeah, Laurie, would you agree that is really critical?
Yeah, I do. Joe and I went to therapy after we got married. I saw some, you know, I don't like stereotypes, but I think a lot of times it's often the woman who says we ought to go to counseling or we ought to, you know, one of the self-improve in some way, mm-hmm. shape, or form. Mm-hmm. And what I saw was that I was falling into some old patterns that my dad and I didn't get along real well. And I was starting to do those same things to my stepdaughter. And I felt like Joe was still involved too much emotionally in the relationship and in conflict. But kind of like we talked about earlier with, mm-hmm. with women, still engaged in some way in that former relationship and that he couldn't even think straight about it at that point in time. So I said, we should go and work on our own stuff. I don't think we have a problem, but I think we will if we don't figure this out. I think I'm going to fall into old patterns. You're going to fall into old patterns. And we both played the quiet, long-suffering one in our former relationships. So what if we just go to shutting up and not talking about it? And so he agreed, and we went to one therapist, sat on the couch together, worked through our individual issues with the other one listening, and wow, was it powerful. And it has made our relationship what it is today. We think we have one of the best marriages out there. I mean, we really work at keeping it positive. We don't fight. We do debate stuff. But we don't do it in a way that's hurtful or undermining, and we can spot that in others a mile away. When they do, you know, when one spouse undermines the other one, you know you've got a problem. They're not respectful.
So let me ask you this, because listeners are now wondering, like, well, how do you keep it fresh and passionate and exciting and continuing to grow? Let's get both your opinions. Who wants to go first on this one?
I can go first
okay.
on that one. So Coach Joe, my husband, really loves that part of coaching. He likes to work with couples that, because life's gotten in the way, kids, works, the things that keep you busy, busy, busy all the time, pull you away from each other and people start to get distant. He wants to work with those people before they get to the point where they're at therapy. Now, we do think therapy is preemptive as well, mm-hmm. but a lot of people don't go to therapy until it's like...
Too late.
Yeah. Are we going to go to divorce court or are we going to go to therapy? And it is too late oftentimes mm-hmm. by that. It's too little, too late. And we'd like to help people who are in that situation where they just need to add a little spark. You know, a lot of couples do a date night. They don't talk about kids. They don't talk about work. And if you think about that, what the heck do you talk about when you're in the middle of life where your kids are growing up and you've got a career or not? What else do you talk about? And if you know you have date night and those two things are off limits, you'd make things interesting.
So date night.
Yeah. Date night is so important.
So you recommend that
absolutely,
as a psychologist?
Absolutely. Do it with all marriage counseling. They have to get away from the kids. They have to get focused on just the two of them and doing something they enjoy doing together and sharing feelings and, you know, not just watching TV together because there's no communication there.
Right.
You know, if they do go to a movie, then they have to, you know, go to dinner first. They have to talk to each other, you know, share what's going on with them.
So date night would not include, for you men out there, men's night out. And poker, smoking cigars, drinking beer, do not bring your wife.
That's right.
That's not considered date night.
Right.
Or sitting with your phone and texting, you can't do that either, or check your email.
Yeah, that's a good point. Unless you're texting your date, sitting right to your right.
That could happen.
In this day and age, I think that's what's happening. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Dr. Sharon and Lori Battaglia, Coach's Corner. This is the Divorce Show. We'll be right back.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Divorce Show, starring Dr. Sharon and in-studio guest Lori Battaglia, Coach's Corner, Living the Dream Coaches. And on the break, we were talking about, how do you create the life after divorce, mm-hmm. which is really important. You just can't go on, you know, with guilt, anger, revenge. You got to live your life. How do you create it? Who wants to go first on this? Okay, Lori.
Okay. Well, one of the things that Joe and I do is help people reinvent themselves. And we work a lot with women. We actually work more often with women than men. What I see people fall into, here's some traps I see women fall into. See women fall into the trap of, my kids are little and I won't date till they are out of high school. And that can be a long time. Mm-hmm. I'll have a life for myself later. You know, so you sort of create this long-suffering model for your children that, again, think about what you're showing them, because your actions are forming what they think is normal and what they'll carry forward into relationships in life. I was saying that I think that right after divorce, you kind of get a hall pass or permission slip to do some adventurous things. Like for me, I decided that I wanted to have a convertible, so I leased a Sebring. And then I bought her, and I kept her for a while until she began to fail. So I had Betsy, my convertible, for about 9 years, 10 years, something like that, and traded her in for Bud, my PT Cruiser convertible. And I will never probably not have a convertible again because I found out I liked it.
Bud? Do you call it Bud?
Bud. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got some male energy about him, you know.
Dr. Sharon, how would you analyze that? No, just kidding.
Yeah.
All right, so
Bud. That is it. But you get a chance to go test out some things you wouldn't have done before, and nobody's going to think you're crazy. They might say, well, you know, she just came out of a divorce or he just came out of a divorce. But, you know, you see the stereotype of the man who's driving the fancy red Corvette and with a young blonde sitting next to him, or a young dark-haired woman, for that matter. We've been picking on blondes all day. Somebody young enough to be his daughter. Well, women can, I wouldn't advocate that, but women can try new things and figure out, it's that testing time. Figure out what works for you and then bring more happiness into your life.
That totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. Bring more happiness. And is that part of, Dr. Sharon, your therapy with women and men to get them to realize, hey, if it's over, it's over. I mean, hopefully you bring them together, but sometimes it's over, right?
Right, right.
And if it is, a new life begins.
And, you know, I've seen some women that, you know, just maybe come in after the divorce and they like to go back to school. You know, they want to earn more money. So that's a big thing that they do for themselves, even if they have children. I mean, there's so many online schools now. They can do that in between a job and their child care responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of women are going back to school, you know, taking time for hobbies, starting to exercise, go to the gym, mm-hmm. starting to, you know, build their self-esteem, maybe lose weight, things like that, that they want to do after a divorce, yeah. and feel better about themselves, and so that they can, you know, attract somebody that's going to be better for them.
And I think, too, you picked on, so you said something big there with, you know, I want to educate myself and have a better career and things like that. I think getting financially secure and understanding your finances as a female coming out of a marriage. Now, I happen to be the one that runs the finances because I've been in financial services for a long time. But many people, one spouse dominates that in a relationship. And for the other one to be able to come out of the relationship and really understand their money situation and take control of that instead of running from it or letting it control you is a really empowering feeling. And that was one thing that I did afterwards was, even though I paid the bills, I got a grip on exactly what it was. And I also knew I couldn't blame him anymore. I couldn't say, well, he spends all the money. It was going to be whatever I did. So it was up to me to make it mine.
So that's a very, very important insights, I think, for the listeners. And let me ask you a couple questions. We're getting close to the end of the show. However, and I think I mentioned this last time perhaps on the show, Dr. Sharon, where I was on the board of directors for Single Parent Association. And one thing that really was, maybe a pet peeve I had, is that a lot of people that are getting divorced or got divorced, they have young kids, but they start to date and they introduce the person to the young kid. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
No,
I mean,
it doesn't.
How damaging can that be?
I think it's very damaging. And I see it over and over and over. And parents don't get it that, you know, their child is having, you know, to adjust to not having dad in the house. You can't, you know, be bringing in Tom, Dick, or Harry, whoever it is that you're dating, to meet the children. Because, first of all, you don't know if you're really going to be attached to that person, let alone, I mean, the kids will form an attachment. And then 6 months later you decide to date somebody else, the kids are all heartbroken again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really thoughtless.
It's thoughtless, and it probably – does it have to do with low self-esteem again, where people don't – they seem to create a higher value for themselves, and the value meaning feel good about themselves, forget about the kids? I mean, it may not be intentional.
I think that parents just don't think.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think they have
–
I think they just don't think.
Which is really sad, you know, and it really then to me it would seem – it would revolve around them getting their needs met versus making sure their kids' needs are met. Because if their need is an empty hole, you know, they're just empty, void feeling, and they think they can get love from someone else without having self-love. That's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And putting their needs first without, you know, more important than the kids' needs, that can be one reason. Or just not thinking at all, or not having... you know, money for childcare could be financial, not having parents or, you know, friends that are going to be willing to watch the kids. That could be a reason. But there's a variety of factors, I think, that go into that. But I think it's very detrimental.
Very. And it seems like divorce is still on the rise and marriage is on the rise.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
There's hope for the future, right?
There's hope for the future?
I guess so.
More work for us.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
Job security.
Ministers do well here,
and
psychologists, coaches, and attorneys. And, of course, at 3 o'clock, we have Joe Collins, attorney, talking about legal issues of divorce. So it is really unfortunate, though, you know, to see the rise in divorce. And it's really high out here, by the way. I heard as high as 67% first marriages.
67%?
I've heard that.
Wow.
That's
for
ridiculous.
First marriages.
And then second marriages, I heard it's 75%.
Yeah,
I don't even want to ask what third marriages are.
Worse.
Yeah.
I've heard that too.
That's incredible, though. I know the stats are high, though.
Yeah.
Which is, does that give hope or not to people? Or they probably don't even think about it, right?
Boy, those are staggering statistics.
Yeah, they are.
That's.
I don't know. Hope springs eternal, I guess. I think some people have sworn off the institution of marriage. Others have gone wholeheartedly into it. So I don't think it's dead at this point.
Oh, no. I think it's on the rise.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is because people want, after they get divorced, well, there's probably a lot of reasons, and that's probably another show. Loneliness, fear of, you know, the clock ticking, not feeling lovable and think that's going to help out. That never helps out. Wow, only 2 minutes left. Lori, why don't you give out some contact information?
Okay.
How do people get in touch with you?
If you want to get together with Joe and I, let's see. It's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. And our phone number is 888-505-5762.
Wow, thank you, Lori Battaglia.
Thank
and
you.
Dr. Sharon, how do they get in touch with you?
My phone number is 602-334-3776. And my email address is drsharon1@hotmail.com. If you have a question, you can forward it to me. Maybe we'll answer it on the next show.
Hey, that would be great. Yeah, actually, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. We welcome emails and texts and phone calls as well. Well, this has been really a pleasure and honor being in both of your presence, Dr. Sharon.
It's been fun to be here with you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Lori, we'll see you next time on Coach's Corner coming up in May. And everyone stay tuned now for the debut show of the second part of the Divorce Show with Joe Collins, Collins & Collins, LLP, a great, great law firm. Actually, I've known Joe for like 10 to 12 years, I think. Phenomenal law firm, legal advice, financial advice, tax advice. We're a resource center, right, Dr. Sharon?
Yes, we are.
And that's the intent, to be a resource center, but to heal relationships. It's all about
healing.
Can we heal relationships prior to the divorce. And see you next month, Dr. Sharon.
We will.
All right, stay tuned. Right up at 3.
familyvaluesradio.net.
1010 KXXT.
Collison, Phoenix.
Tax time is here again. Let Bierenbaum and Spiering relieve your burden and stress while we provide you with easy and sophisticated preparation on your tax return. Whether you are a business, such as a partnership or a corporation, as well as an individual, state, or trust, we can help you with your tax return preparation in a way that allows you to feel safe and secure. Bierenbaum and Spiering has experienced, knowledgeable, and personable CPAs and staff and look forward to helping you. Please call 602-266-5633 and ask for Mitchell Spiering, CPA.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Hirschberger Assisted Living Home for the Elderly. Whether it's a need to recuperate after surgery or just need daily assistance to enrich their life, you can trust that your loved one is being well cared for. Our caregivers are fully licensed by the Arizona Department of Health. An experienced team of professionals provide expert medical care, including physical, occupational, and recreational therapy, wound care, medication management, nutritional support, and personal.
Your career, your life. Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Hey, I'm Lisa Masters, single mom to two amazing boys on the spectrum and author of The Funny Side of Autism. April 20th marks the first annual Time One On for Autism benefit at the Compound Grill in Phoenix. It will be a fun night out to benefit the Autism Society Greater Phoenix Chapter. We have a wonderful evening planned, including dinner, entertainment, silent auctions, raffles, and a copy of my latest book, The Funny Side of Autism Around the World. For ticket info, go to the calendar tab at thecompoundgrill.com. Hope to see you there.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.